Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. Oh, there's so much going on in our world today and so much going on in all of our lives that it is just so vitally important that we hear something from the heart of God that will give us hope in these hurtful times. Folks, I just feel so privileged and honored to be broadcasting today a message of hope in this great time of trouble. And the message of hope is not a new message. You know, so many people out there are looking for God to do some new thing. I am looking for God to do what He is known for doing since the ancient days. Praise God. Amen. God really doesn't have to do anything new or different. He just needs to be acknowledged as the God who He is, and He needs to be praised and worshiped for what He has done. Praise God. Amen. So we're going to talk about some of the things the Lord has done and that Jesus has done for us today. But before we do, and before we even announce the title of our talk today, I just want to talk to you about WMAF and this broadcast and the other fine people who broadcast on this radio station, other ministries that are involved here on WMAF. We all have one heart and one goal, and that is to see people like you and others, and like I was at one time, come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to embrace and accept the gift of salvation, the gift. They used to sell products by talking about gifts that keep on giving. Well, this is a gift that keeps on giving throughout all eternity. And we just pray today that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you won't turn that dial, that you will stay tuned and listen and maybe get a grasp in your mind and in particularly in your heart of what the gospel of Jesus Christ is really all about. What is the bottom line? What is the core issue here? Maybe you have been hurt or disappointed or disillusioned because of the failure of some Christian leaders. But I want you to stay tuned. This is not about us today. We are flawed, obviously. But this is about Jesus Christ and what He has done on the cross for you and for me. Now, no failure of any Christian ministry or minister takes away from what Jesus did. What He did at Calvary stands today. Amen. And so we want to change the focus from the failures of men and women to the faithfulness of God, and particularly to what Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross. Now, if you are a return listener here to WMAF, we welcome you today in the Madison area. This is your radio station, and we would like to be one of your programs that you embrace and as your very own. We are very conscious of the fact that though we originate this broadcast in Tampa, that this broadcast goes forth in Madison, and we are grateful for a growing listening audience in the Madison area. The wonderful thing about this station is that it streams 24/7 by computer. If you go to WMAF Home up in the right-hand corner and click on it, then you can get the live streaming broadcast of WMAF 24/7. And that means this broadcast goes with that stream. So if you know someone in another state, if you know someone in another country that you would like to drop an email, if they have a computer and they are connected to the World Wide Web, and they are online, then they can receive this broadcast and this programming from this fine station. We just love to tell people about WMAF because it's a unique station, and we love it here in Tampa. We hear it by computer here, and there is a growing audience here. So we're very, very grateful for that. If some of our old friends of this ministry, we've been in Tampa for 35 years this January, pastoring, serving Christ in Tampa since 1974. So we're so glad that some of our old friends, people we have known down through the years, are listening to this broadcast and to this station. Praise God. Wherever this finds you today, we are glad that you're allowing us to be part of your devotional day and your devotional life. Taking a little extra time because we want all of you to know how much we appreciate you. And you are in our prayers as we pray over this broadcast, and we pray that we will be in your prayers as well, that God will continue to bless us to take the gospel wherever he wants to send it. Praise the Lord. Today we're going to talk about the final word from the cross and the finished work of Jesus Christ. They are so absolutely connected to one another. There are seven sayings from the cross. I used to minister on the message, the seven sayings, or the seven words rather, that changed the world. Words that changed the world, the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. This is the seventh of the seven things that he uttered on the cross. It is the last thing that he said before he gave his life up on that cross. And it is so full of information about the finished work of Jesus. What was taking place on that cross, and why it took place, and what it accomplished for you and for me forever. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to just read one verse of Scripture, those last words of Jesus on the cross. The last of the last words, John's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 30. John's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 30. It says, "When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost." The final words of Jesus. Actually, it says he cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." And it is one word in the Greek, and it is the Greek word tetelesta, finished or accomplished. Just one word that is rendered, "It is finished," because that is the meaning of it. But it is the one word tetelesta, which simply means accomplished. It also could be rendered in a practical sense, paid in full. Not too long ago, archaeologists in and around the Holy Land found a jar, a clay jar that was sealed with wax sealing it, much like we would preserve jelly or jam. They opened it up very, very carefully, and inside, perfectly preserved, dating back to near or around the time of Jesus Christ, there was a scroll inside. And when they pulled the scroll out and they rolled it out, it was the deed to a piece of property, and it was stamped tetelesti, which means paid in full. And that meant that the mortgage had been paid off, and that stamp authorized that person to become the full owner of the property. No more payments need be made. So this kind of opens up to us with an understanding of what Jesus was saying from the cross. Just one word said it all, tetelesti, which means accomplished. He bowed his head, and then he gave up the ghost. Some have called this the greatest word ever spoken. And I want to say that this is the greatest word ever spoken because it was spoken by the greatest person who ever lived, the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could have spoken this word, because the word that he spoke was finished or accomplished. Only Jesus Christ could say accomplished. He's the only person who lived and who accomplished fully the thing that God placed him in this world to do. Abraham was great as he could, but he could not say fully that he had fully finished God's work. He could not take our place. Moses was wonderful, powerful man of God, but he couldn't take our place and take the punishment for our sin. David, as great as he was, could not say he had fully finished God's work. He couldn't take our place on the cross. Paul, as great as he was, could not say he fully finished God's work. All of these great Bible characters truly loved the Lord and truly did great things. But only Jesus, the Son of God, could say, "It's finished." This is the word spoken by the greatest person who ever lived, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, had come to seek and to save that which is lost. And when he came to die on the cross, after 6 hours of suffering, he cried with a loud voice, "Tetelestai," finished, accomplished. For he had accomplished his Father's work, and he had accomplished that was necessary to bring salvation to you and me. You know what he was doing on that cross? Jesus was paying our sin debt, yours and mine, a debt that if we spent eternity in hell, we could never, ever come to a place in timeless time called eternity that we could ever say we've suffered enough. Now the sin debt is paid. No one can pay the sin debt, either by being punished or being good enough. Whichever way you turn it, none of us can pay our own ransom. Only the sinless blood of the sinless Son of God could be offered as a sacrifice acceptable unto God as the full payment for the sin debt of the world. That's why when John the Baptist saw Jesus come on the scene, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That includes you. That encompasses people around this globe. Amen. I love that scripture in the book of Revelation when there are people from every kindred, it said, tongue and nation coming into God's holy city and into the great kingdom of our great King. And the question is asked, who are these? And the answer came so clearly. These are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Hallelujah. I am so glad today to declare unto you that everything that needed to be done to save you and me was accomplished at the cross. And it's up to you and I to embrace that great finished work by receiving Jesus as our Savior. And friend, if you've received Jesus as your personal Savior, I want you to know your sin debt was paid in full. Don't you ever, ever let the enemy of your soul, the accuser of the brethren, as he's called in Revelation chapter 12, don't you ever let him point his bony finger at you again concerning past sins. Those past sins are past and they are done away with because Jesus took the punishment for them. God didn't just look the other way. He didn't sweep them under the rug. No judge can do that. The law demands that justice be served, and justice was being served when Jesus suffered and died for the sins of the world. And that means anyone who would receive him as their Savior and repent of their sin could be saved. Jesus did it all when he hung upon that cross. I love the song, going back to this paid in full concept by many have sung it. Glad the a cappella group did this song. And I want to just give you a verse of this song and listen to the words of it. "And in these days of confused situations, and in these nights of a restless remorse, when the heart and the soul of a nation lay wounded and cold as a corpse, from the grave of the innocent Adam comes a song bringing joy to the sad. All your cries have been heard, and the ransom has been paid up in full. Be ye glad. And the chorus says, oh, be ye glad, be ye glad, for every debt that you ever had has been paid up in full by the grace of the Lord. Be ye glad, be ye glad, be ye glad. I don't care what trouble we face down in this world. We need to be glad that Jesus did what he did for us at the cross. Oh, that great Christian hymn, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my soul rolled away. Because there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Listen, folks, happiness certainly can't be based on happenings, not here in a fallen world. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. But then he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Literally, I have robbed it of power to harm you. Hallelujah. I want you to know the world that is ruled and influenced by the god of this world, which is the devil, hasn't got power over us. It causes pressure, great pressure upon us. Tribulation is from the word thelpsis that Jesus used, and it means anguish and pressure. And there's not a Christian in this world that doesn't feel the pressure of this. And not only Christians either. Every person on this planet is under pressure. There is no peace on this planet that is lasting. Oh, but there's peace in the kingdom of God. In fact, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, the Bible declares, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Aren't you glad that Jesus finished God's greatest assignment in all of the universe, and that is to do that which was necessary so that he could forgive you and forgive me. Hallelujah. He finished his Father's work. You know, he alluded to this throughout all his earthly ministry. The very first words that Jesus said are recorded in God's Word were the words he spoke as a boy in the temple. When they found Jesus studying with the doctors of law in the temple, Jesus said, "Wouldst not thou that I must be about my Father's business?" He went on when his disciples had gone into town to buy food and came back, and Jesus had won the Samaritan woman to salvation. He said to his disciples, "My meat is to do the will of my Father and to finish his work." Jesus' goal was to finish the work the Father had given him to do. And there on the cross of Calvary, Jesus cried, "Tetelestai," it is finished. And it was spoken, the last words of Jesus from the cross. But those mighty words are reverberating through the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations of the world. Praise God. That's one of the major reason that we are on the air today. I remember when I ministered in the jail system here in Tampa, the assistant warden used to attend our church with his family years and years ago. So I had kind of an open door, literally, to go in at any time I chose and hold a Bible study and an altar call and to tell people about Jesus in the prison system in Tampa. And I remember my first day ministering in the prison system in a holding cell that had been set aside with some chairs in it. And I remember when the prisoners came in that wanted to attend this meeting, and then the doors were locked and the guards walked away. Mind you, this was not a Sunday morning service that guards attended and people on their best behavior got to come to. This was just an opening of cell blocks for 5 minutes, and then everything electronically closed. The guards left, and we had our service very intimately, privately, personally. And I remember a man in the back asking me why that I was ministering, why I was preaching in the prison system, what I was doing there in the prison system. And I told them that the Christ of the Bible, and I told them this because of the biblical statements concerning Jesus and his concerns and his priorities. Amen. And I told them, I said, you know, if Jesus could go anywhere, if he had 1 hour to spend in Tampa, Florida, and he was passing through, if he was alive today, he came to Tampa, and he had an invitation to speak at the largest church in the city with the biggest gathering of Christians, or he had an opportunity to come here and speak to you guys about the plan of salvation, the Jesus of the Bible would come to the jail and talk to the prisoners, not just prisoners by the laws of men, but prisoners of sin, prisoners that the enemy wants to destroy. Listen, he would come to you guys. He would talk to you about your need for salvation. You know what he said to the really self-righteous? He said, you know, the well don't need a physician. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And on the cross, he said, it's done. My mission, as far as doing what's necessary so men can be saved, it's accomplished on the cross. You know, there's a scripture he said, and Jesus spoke and said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. In other words, if I pay that price on the cross, and if I give my life a ransom, if I suffer and die and take the punishment for man's sin, I will, through that great act, draw men unto me. And through the proclamation of the gospel, amen, this message is meant to break down every excuse and barrier against receiving Christ as our Savior. Oh, how he loved you and how he loved me. Listen, love held him to the cross. Make no mistake about it, friend. It wasn't Caesar's Rome. It wasn't Pilate's authority under the mighty Roman government and military to back up its mandates. It was not the high priest who wanted him dead and their religious authority. It wasn't the cry of an angry mob who thought him a blasphemer. Listen to me. I want you to know none of those and all of those together couldn't have made Jesus go anywhere. He didn't choose to go. In fact, he said of his life that he had the power to lay it down and he had the power to take it up again. And when Peter pulled his sword to defend him when they came for him and he tried to, he swung at the first temple guard who came to arrest him. He swung at him with his sword and the man ducked and he lobbed off his ear as he ducked. Jesus picked up the ear, one of the miracles of Jesus, and placed it back on the man's head and told Peter to put up his sword because he said, if my kingdom were of this world, then I would call the thousands of angels, literally legions of angels, to defend me, but my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus wasn't thinking about himself. He could have come down off of that cross. He could have never went to that cross, but he did it. And you know what held him there? It wasn't the nails that pierced his wrist and his feet. What held him to the cross was his love for you and for me. For God so loved the world that he gave, oh yes, this fallen world with all of these faulty people and sinful people and evil people. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And for Christ so loved you and I that he would go to that cross. You know what the Bible said? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Amen. Listen, what joy could there possibly be in suffering in agony and dying in agony and dying as a sinner would die without the comfort of God? For he cried from the cross, other words, prior to saying it is finished, he cried, Father, why hast thou forsaken me. Remember in Pilate's hall, Jesus said, the Father is always with me. No one else is standing up for me, but the Father is always with me. Well, on the cross, that comfort was not his. For on the cross, the Scripture said, he that knew no sin became sin. Literally, he didn't become sinful nor a sinner, but he became treated as a sinner would be treated, judged and condemned. And that's how he died. Oh, friend, none of us have to die without the comfort of God. Amen. Without the certain hope of the resurrection because of Jesus and what he has done for us on the cross. You know, I saw an openness to the gospel when there was a realization in the prison system that there's no ulterior motive here. We're not receiving an offering here. We're not trying to get something from someone or use a prison ministry to get offerings on the outside to enhance our own ministry. No, there's only one reason I walked in behind those cold bars and actually had to be blood type because there was no guards and had to sign a release saying that I clearly understood that there is no negotiation with hostage takers in the prison system. So I did pray, by the way, not because I was afraid, but because I wanted to know that when I walked in there and the doors closed and the guards left, that God was in control. And I tell you, I saw God melt hearts of hardened men. The hearts that could be touched were touched. And I wouldn't really take anything for that time of ministry, because I saw God move by his Spirit. Amen. Listen, they told me when I started in that ministry, you can't con a con. Amen. And I don't ever intend to try to con anybody. We haven't asked for one penny since we've been on the air. We are so privileged to have this opportunity to bring you this message that what Jesus did on the cross satisfied God's demand for justice, so that every person on this planet without exception could be saved. Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That means your sin and my sin, every sin that we've ever had, the songwriter said, every debt that we've ever had has been paid up in full by the grace of the Lord. Oh, be ye glad, be ye glad, be ye glad. If you're a Christian today, be glad that your sins have been forgiven, that your sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you are not a Christian today, and you're listening to this message, and you're wondering, what is this preacher all about? What is he saying? Why is he saying it? I'm saying it because I'm sent to say it. Being a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ means God, after he saved me, called me to preach his message of truth and deliverance and salvation. Now, bringing that message to you, all of it begins with and ends with the cross and the man who hung on it, the Son of God, the Son of Man. Some called him Son of David because of his lineage. But he was God incarnate, God in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And that's why the Scripture said, to wit, God was in Jesus Christ, giving his life for us on the cross. It's incredible as it may sound, God loved you enough to come to this earth, to take on flesh, the second person of the Godhead that makes up the triune God, Jesus, to be born in a manger, to begin his ministry at 30 years of age, and at 33, to lay down his life, to suffer and to die, to save you and to save me. Tetelestai, he cried, it's accomplished. It's done. It's finished. My sin debt and yours paid in full. Ah, friend, wouldn't you receive this gift that's been so wonderfully, powerfully given, and receive Jesus today as your Savior. Come back next week, will you? And let's talk about Jesus.